Hello and welcome to the Geeks of Doom Roundup, where we talk a little bit about movies and music, what's happening at geeksofdoom.com, and what's coming up on the podcast Social Blend and The Drill Down. I'm Andy Sorcini. I am known amongst my internet peeps as Mr. Baby Man, and I am here with Greg Davies, who is known on the internet as CGT2099, and also co-host of the TARDIS Blend podcast, which is also featured here on Geeks of Doom. How you doing, Greg?
Well, dilly gaff to you, my friend Andy, yes. And dilly gaff to our listeners out there. How are we all doing? I'm doing quite well myself, and yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm doing swell. I'm glad that we got our first episode of the Geeks of Doom Roundup up, like, just in time for it to still just barely be relevant for
just before we get the second episode.
Yes. You know, better late than never.
Well, yeah, that is indeed true. But, you know, it's also worthy of noting that we've also gotten a bit of attention from some of the listeners over at Mevio, where we host the MP3 over there. So hello to you, our listeners at Mevio. We appreciate you checking out our reboot episode, and we surely hope that you stick around for episode 2 and beyond.
We've got to, what we usually do on this podcast, we chat a little bit about the latest music that we're listening to, and movie trailers that have caught our eye. And then we get into the meat of what's going on Geeks of Doom and in our own individual respective podcasts. So let me see. Do I usually start off now that I've introed, or do I pass it to you for your trailer?
I think we'll do what we used to do, which is we'll start with movies and then move into music.
All right, cool. So tell us about this movie trailer that we're going to be listening to.
Well, it's all about the case of the West Memphis Three and Peter Jackson of Lord of the Rings, yes, and the Hobbit fame.
You've been a champion of this cause for a while, from what I remember, for the last couple of years, right?
Quite some time, yes. And this, well, Peter Jackson is also he has the money. Mm-hmm. I'm merely one of those guys that like goes, "Free the West Memphis Three! Did you hear me?" But Peter Jackson's he's got a bit of power, so he decided to champion the cause. And the first thing he did was he decided to do a documentary. Now, some of our listeners out there may be HBO watchers, mm-hmm, and they may have seen the other night it aired on HBO the third Paradise Lost documentary, which is also on this topic. So this is a different documentary. It's something that Peter Jackson produced. And so it focuses on the case of the West Memphis Three. And who are the West Memphis Three, I hear you ask? Well, the West Memphis Three are three individuals: Damien Eccles, Jesse Miss Kelly, and Jason Baldwin. And in 1993, three young little boys were murdered in the Robin Hood Hills in West Memphis, Arkansas. And without a shred of any evidence, such as DNA evidence or anything tying these boys to the crime, they were accused and convicted based on the prosecution's case, which was they were part of a satanic cult and that the murders were part of an occult sacrificial ritual. And of course, the basis for their accusations were due to the fact that they listened to bands like Metallica or a lot of black, and were curious enough to examine other religions such as Wicca and so on. And that was their case. And they were locked up for 18 years until last year in 2011, where their attorneys were threatening to go ahead with a retrial. The state of Arkansas offered them what's called an Alford plea. And the Alford plea is really a very rarely used thing in any litigation. It's basically a situation where the accused have to admit their guilt, in the sense that if they went to a second trial, the prosecution would convict them, but it allows them to publicly maintain their innocence, which is kind of oxymoronic. But basically what that means is it was an opportunity for the state of Arkansas to basically cover their asses and, you know, not go ahead with a retrial where they would be found responsible for imprisoning three innocent young teenagers who lost a lot of their best years of their lives behind bars, one of which was on death row by the way.
That Alfred clause sounds like a blatant violation of the Fifth Amendment. It sounds like, you know, that it's going against their right to protect themselves against self-incrimination.
Well, see, the thing about that is the judge that overheard the plea deal was basically sentenced them to time already served.
Hmm.
So by that stage, they were free. They could go. And so it was a case of, you know, do we accept this deal and walk free and later try to clear our names, or do we go ahead with the retrial? And, you know, when you got one of the guys on death row with the clock ticking down, no one ever knowing when that moment is going to come, it was kind of a no-brainer for the three men. So they stepped out. And so what Peter Jackson is additionally doing, he is investing money in private investigators who are continuing the investigation into the crime, not just to clear the name of the West Memphis Three, but also to find the murderer, the killer. And so anyway, hot on the heels of Paradise Lost being aired on HBO the other night, Peter Jackson released the trailer to West of Memphis, which is actually going to be submitted as a feature at the Sundance Film Festival.
Oh, terrific.
So I don't know. I'm not sure if it's being entered for any consideration for awards or not, but and I'm not sure what's going to happen after that, whether they're going to offer it for free online or whether it's going to straight to DVD or whether it's going to have a theatrical run, or it's not really clear at this point. But it's worth keeping your ear to the ground for, because once you start reading about the West Memphis 3 case and how ridiculous the police action was and how corrupt the prosecution and judges have been since the time of the case, because let's face it, they have built their careers on that case.
Right.
You know, it's a compelling thing that you just can't let go of, and it makes you realize that you know, the justice system here in the United States is not as perfect as what some people think it is. But it also makes you think that these three guys were lucky to get the exposure that they did. How many other people are there behind bars that are innocent based upon poorly executed law enforcement investigation and corrupt prosecution and so on? So that being said, when I saw this trailer, it's a little longer than the usual trailers we have. It's about 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy, I agonized over this today, because usually when we have a long trailer, we try and cut it down a little bit.
Sure, so we try to keep the music and the movie to about two and a half minutes.
Right, but I think we really need to play the whole thing here. And, and the reason I say that is because the audio and the sound bites that are in this clip are so compelling and all interrelated that I don't think we would be doing the content or the trailer justice if we just did a clip from it. So without further ado, here is the trailer for Peter Jackson's West of Memphis, looking at the case of the West Memphis Three.
Nothing ever happens in West Memphis, Arkansas.
We've had three children missing since last night.
Three young boys murdered in cold blood.
It appeared that they had been sexually mutilated.
Is it your opinion that these crimes were motivated by occult beliefs?
Yes.
Arrested at 2:44 p.m., charged with three counts of capital murder.
It was like a nuclear bomb going off in the courtroom.
Life imprisonment without parole. Death by lethal injection.
And the terror of mortal men looked favorably on my sacrifice.
I ain't done nothing wrong.
A case with a confession would be easier as opposed to one without direct evidence.
I read the confession on the front page just like everybody else did.
Jesse's borderline mentally retarded.
The statement was put in his mouth by the police.
They beat up all three of them.
And then they took their clothes off. Then they tied them.
Then they tied them up.
This case is nothing out of the ordinary. You're dealing with three kids, bottom of the barrel, poor white trash.
Here's the state of Arkansas refusing to let the truth shine on this case.
My role when I was brought in was primarily to analyze the case, to see, does it really fit the three people they have in prison?
They are seeking merely the opportunity to have the fair trial they have never had.
And the reason I'm hesitating, I'm trying to think if that's a question that I should be answering.
I said, just between me and you, did you do it? And he said, yes, and he went into detail. Jason told me how he dismembered the kid.
Did Damien invite you to some meeting?
A cult, satanic meeting. I was just a big liar, and I really was.
I was doing a lot of LSD. I remember not knowing why I was doing what I was doing.
This case is outrageous.
Feeling funny in my mind.
You're dealing with a horrendous crime. There's savage injuries. It affects people, and it warps their judgment.
There's careers at stake. There's promotions at stake. There's agendas.
DNA testing has been done. There is powerful evidence that points towards another suspect.
The focus is always on the family. So that you start from there, and you work your way out.
He didn't voluntarily give us this DNA. We waited in the living room while he was in the bathroom, and that's when I took the cigarette butts out of the ashtray.
It's not just new scientific evidence, it's new evidence.
I'd give my life to know the fucking truth.
Miss Kelly's confession wasn't supposed to be injected into the second trial at all, but it was.
There's nothing more poisonous than having a confession in a jury room.
If that allegation is borne out, they have to throw this case out.
Burnett was wrong in the decisions that he made.
Well, I had to fool with it for 18 years.
No one wants to admit that they made a mistake.
We don't believe the people of Arkansas are going to be satisfied until there is a new trial.
The option to reopen the case was presented to him, and he went, no, we found them guilty, we're done.
We got 17 years invested in sticking to this story, and that makes it even harder.
This is going to be a happy ending. There's just got to be a happy ending to this.
There are a lot of people in prison because of this.
Not only is the state getting away with it, but the person who killed those three kids is still out there walking on the street.
Powerful trailer there.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying. It just grabs your attention from start to finish. And I think, I'm happy to see Peter Jackson stepping up and helping to contribute to this particular cause. Incidentally, the official site, WM3.org, which is, it used to be known as the Free the West Memphis 3 Support Fund, is now the Exonerate the West Memphis 3 Support Fund, and rightfully so. There is not a shred of evidence, not one molecule that attaches these guys to the crime. And incidentally enough, we've had two of the Social Blend podcasts that have focused on the topic of the West Memphis 3. We had an episode where the man behind the Free the West Memphis 3 and the WM3.org website, Burke Sauls from California, joined us on one episode, and he gave us the lowdown on the entire case. Which is really good background listening if you're new to the case. And then we had another episode last year where we looked at them being freed. And so we'll have a link to those two single podcast episodes in the show notes so that people can check that out, Andy.
All right.
So that's West of Memphis, and I implore people, if you're interested in documentaries, and Andy and I are big fans of documentaries, there's been times on this podcast where we finished recording and we've ended up talking for, a good hour about documentaries we've seen mm-hmm. that we really like. So, you know, they're really good films. Documentaries are fantastic, and if you are a documentary fan, this looks like one that's going to be worth your attention.
They can change lives. And the immediate example that comes to mind is Errol Morris's Thin Blue Line, which is a mm-hmm. similar case to this, where somebody was wrongfully accused with very little evidence, and it was the documentary itself that compelled action to free the person who is wrongly accused. So there we go. Who knows? This documentary could save lives.
Well, we hope so. We hope so. So we'll see how we go as far as that's concerned. Now, Andy, I've got to ask you.
Yeah.
This is related to your music selections. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't need to ask you. I'm going to tell you. I saw this pop up on my feed reader this week, and as soon as I saw it, I thought to myself, I don't even need to bring this up. Andy's going to be all over this.
Well,
because we're both fans of this dude.
Yes. If you're a past listener to the Roundup, you'll know that we have championed Pogo for some time. And those of you who are unfamiliar with Pogo, Pogo is a DJ by the name of Nick Burtke, and he goes by the handle Pogo, and he's
also from my home place, my home city of Perth, Western Australia.
That's correct.
Represent Perth. Yeah.
And what he does, he creates mashups, but he does them in a very unique style, where he will take a movie or a TV show or some piece of media, like Disney's Alice in Wonderland is a prime example. And he will create an entire new song, not made up of the music from Alice in Wonderland, but made up of tiny little snippets of sound effects or dialogue clips and little bits of music. But he does it in a way where it's completely original, doesn't really have any sort of connection to the original source that can be considered copyright infringing, because it really is chopping up the bits so small and recreating them in a new form that it's like a brand new piece of music.
Yeah, essentially he uses sound effects and dialogue bits as musical instruments. If you've ever seen the Terminator one, which is Skynet Symphony, Skynet Symphonic, I should say, he uses like the skull crack as a drum beat and the stomp of the Terminators as part of the drum beat. And things like that. And then on top of it all, he's got little parts of dialogue that are used in place of your regular singing vocals as well. So, you know, it's really quite creative.
And this week he's managed to tackle The Fresh Prince, Will Smith's old show, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He's taken clips from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and mashed them up into this musical, this two and a half minute plus musical montage. And it's really, I mean, the music is terrific, and we'll play a little snippet of the music here in a second, but it's really incomplete without the video as well, which we will embed in our show notes. But without further ado, let's take a little listen to Pogo's Jam, which is The Fresh Prince. There's three A's in there. Which is the Fresh Prince remix, a mashup of voices and beats from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
And I don't want nobody. And I don't want nobody. You got that right. And I don't want nobody.
But if that's...
And I don't want nobody.
Jail.
Extra work for... You got that right.
The IRA.
And I don't want nobody.
Ice pop. I lost
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But if that's...
And I don't want nobody.
Jail.
Extra work for...
I was dancing. I can close.
And I don't want nobody.
On the big ice. Ice
pop. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But if that's...
And I don't want nobody.
Jail.
Extra work for... You got that right.
Vivian.
And I don't want nobody.
On the big ice. Ice
pop. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But if that's...
Right.
the make the mice ice.
Donald Schwarzenegger.
But if that's what if I don't got you, fool.
Master.
Extra work for
you. Got that right.
I can close.
So
want nobody.
On the
make the mouse.
Donald Schwarzenegger.
But if that's
ice.
So that, there it is. It's a little clip from Jam, the Fresh Prince remix by Pogo. And, you know, it's so funny hearing that. It's like, I don't have to know. I could have heard that without knowing who wrote it, and I would have known exactly that was a new Pogo composition. Because his music, his remixes have a very, such a distinctive style to them that it's immediately identifiable like a fingerprint.
Well, yeah, it's his musical identity, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a difficult thing to accomplish that in any form of music, whether it be electronic or you're in a band and you've got your regular guitars, bass, and drums and all that. You know, there's very few bands that are and artists that can reach that particular accomplishment. And
Oh, yeah.
It's the ones that reach that accomplishment that have that particular distinct flavor and sound and identifiable melody, if you will, that tend to more often than not stand the test of time.
Yep. And Pogo is definitely one of them. So we'll embed the video in the show notes for sure. Put the links up as usual. But you know, if you like that, you should check out all of his works because
yeah.
They really are fantastic.
I just want to say he's updated his website as well,
pogomix.net,
I think it is. And we'll have that link in the show note. And I just wanted to let people know that his stuff is freely available to download there. And there's also like his original stuff that he's created himself. Like he charges like, you know, $1 for a song or whatever. But for the stuff that he's done like what you just heard, and also the, you know, the Alice in Wonderland mixes and Up, and you know, the Terminator stuff that we were talking about, he has them up there, and you can download them for free. It's basically one of those situations where you can make an offer for the song if you want to, so, or you can just download it for free. So you can give him $2 for a song if you want it, or you can just download it for free. So I think that's really cool that he's got that there.
Yeah,
and I still say he needs to do a Star Wars song. Speaking of Star Wars, that was a sneaky segue right there. Did you pick up on that? Or I thought you would have. But, you know, speaking of Star Wars, as usual on the Geeks of Doom Roundup, we pick a couple of articles. Andy picks one, I pick one, that have been up at Geeks of Doom in the last week that grabbed our attention. And, mate, was there any doubt in the world that this would have been my selection this week? I don't think there was. Cinemumra has put up an article that originally popped up on IGN, and it was an interview with longtime Star Wars producer Rick McCollum,
mm-hmm.
who's worked very closely with George Lucas. And after, God, years of waiting, they finally announced the title to the new Star Wars live action television series.
Well, was it an official announcement? Or just happened to be like a matter of fact as part of an interview?
I think it was part of the interview.
If
they had an official announcement, it'd be all over the official site. But, you know, apparently it's called Star Wars Underworld. And essentially what it is, it's basically The Godfather meets The Sopranos meets any crime
meets
mystery
Jabba
you can
the
think
Hutt
of.
And the...
meets Goodfellas. In the Star Wars universe, and McCollum says that it's going to look at like the criminals and the gangs, like the bounty hunters and the gangsters, and you know the criminal element, and basically the guys that are behind the scenes that run things like you know Wall Street and the government and stuff like that, like the criminal masterminds and stuff. That's like the seedy underbelly of the Star Wars universe, and we've kind of seen this before. Like you kind of get a hint of it with. Characters like Boba Fett and Jabba the Hutt in the movies, but you get more of a hint of that with the characters like Cheezor and the criminal organization Black Sun in the expanded universe, and kind of like the underground smuggling elements and so on and so forth. And I'm really interested to see what they're going to do with this. I mean, I can't see them doing a series where it's like, you know, kind of like Amazing Stories or Twilight Zone, where every episode is completely different from the other. I think we're probably going to have like some kind of central character that we follow through the story in some way or some form. But it's basically a crime television series set in the Star Wars universe.
I just hope it's not cheesy. I want it to be. That's. I think I understand that there is a certain that all Star Wars shows tend to aim toward a certain demographic that is a little younger than I am. I understand that, but it would be cool if it didn't. You know, it would be cool if they could really successfully cross cultures and create something that's equally as entertaining for the youngins and for, you know, something that something that will touch the kids who love Jar Jar and, you know, older kids like me who love the classic original Star Wars trilogy.
I think it's some smart business sense here on the part of Lucasfilm, because what you're going to see over the next years, like previously, in the previous few years, there are some kids whose only exposure to the Star Wars universe has been the Clone Wars animated series. And some of those kids are now leaving childhood and entering their teenage years. And this kind of like lower seedy anti-hero kind of storyline would fit well in that teenage demographic, I think. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to it, but then again, I'm your resident Star Wars geek and historian, so you know,
right?
I'm probably going to love it anyway because I've got a bias. But you know, I do understand that there are some things, like I know there's people out there that hate the prequels, and you know,
I'm probably like, not as unapologetic as you. Let's just put it that way.
But like Jay, for example, is he likes all the movies, but he can't stand the Clone Wars series. He hates it. He despises it. He just thinks it shouldn't have been made. Whereas I'm like, oh well, I like it. I think it's pretty fun. That's what I'm looking at. You know, it's just fun. So who knows?
All right.
But anyway, speaking of Goodfellas.
Speaking of Goodfellas, yeah, we didn't plan this, but it's pretty you know, synchronistic. It's pretty serendipitous.
Yeah, nice flow.
Yeah, the Geeks of Doom story that I want to highlight this week is also another one by Cinemumra. And I'm hoping that's how Cinemumra pronounces his handle.
Thanks for the fee, by the way, Cinemumra. We'll pick your stories as long as you keep paying us. No, I'm just kidding. We're not getting paid for this. So.
But it's about they've got plans to turn Goodfellas into a series over at AMC, and it's going to be using the original writer Nicholas Nicholas Pileggi. I should know how to pronounce that. I'm Italian. And Erwin Winkler, who is the producer of the original movie, they're both going to be on board, back on board the project, and it's going to be based on Nicholas Pileggi's original novel, Wise Guy, which was the inspiration for Goodfellas. It's going to be basically the story of the rise and fall of the Lucchese crime family associate Henry Hill and his friends from 1955 to 1980, just like basically the long form version of the movie, which is great because it gives us a chance to expand on those characters and expand on some of the stories. And I think in any other like cable network hands, I would be a little wary about it. But this is AMC, and AMC has basically reinvented the premier cable series. So I feel confident that they're going to do a good job with this series.
Well, I mean, they did The Walking Dead.
Yeah. I mean, I like The Walking Dead. I don't know what if, you know, whatever you might have to say about it, I think it's still pretty good quality. But, you know, they also did Breaking Bad and Mad Men and you name it, like a bunch of other quality shows.
I think also, The Sopranos, when that came out, when it finished, I think there's been a hole left in television since that's been there. And I think people are hungry for another kind of gangster television series, and I think this would be a good fit. Now, for a refresh my memory, Goodfellas was the movie with Ray Liotta, wasn't it?
Yes, Liotta played Henry Hill in that picture.
I need to go back and rewatch it. It's been years since I've seen it.
Excellent. It's Martin Scorsese, one of his best.
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, there are several scenes in that movie where if you're an Uber film buff or if you've worked in the industry, you will spot certain technical matters with the film, such as all these long shots that are done with one single camera shot moving its way through crowds and scenes and without cutting the scene. It's all one smooth scene, and so it's...
That single movie has been so influential to a lot of new breed of filmmakers, from Paul Thomas Anderson to Nick, I'm racking my brain here. Who directed the Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead? Edgar Wright. Edgar Wright. So that single film has been an inspiration to a lot of up and coming new breed of filmmakers.
Absolutely. I think they could pull this off. I think it would be quite interesting.
Yep. I'm looking forward to it.
Because if I remember correctly, I mean, Goodfellas has got a very, very fast pace all the way through the film. It's a very, very quick film. It goes and goes and goes and goes and goes.
It ebbs and flows in fast and slow bits, a lot of suspenseful bits. Oh, I just remember thinking back on it and remember scenes like, well, I don't want to say anything in case if you haven't seen Goodfellas, shame on you. You should go out and see it. There should be no reason why I should have to hold back on describing spoilers from that movie. You should have already seen it. But I will, for the sake of this podcast, there are a lot of great scenes that I'm thinking of offhand in my head that I remember from that movie.
I remember actually, I was still back in Australia when that came out, and I remember it used to get at least a good yearly play on network television there, like late at night, and
highly edited, I would imagine.
Well, no, it was Australian television.
Oh.
So yes, you know,
you're right.
If they usually back in that day, the movies used to start on television at 8:30 at night, and between 8:30 and 9:30, they would have to edit certain things. But after 9:30, that was the golden time; they could do whatever they wanted.
Wow.
And so only the first part of the movie, if any editing was done there, it would be done in that portion. But you know, for the rest of it, it was. You used to get the whole thing, and it's a good film.
Yeah, absolutely, and I can't wait to see how they tackle it as a series. So, Greg, tell us about what's going on this week at Social Blend.
Well, our previous episode is up online now. It's Cranium Melody 1987, and that Cranium Melody is the title we give to the music edition of the podcast, which we do every couple of months or so. And we travel back in time with our jean jackets to the year 1987 and look at how big a year it was for rock and metal in general. And we also talk about some of the other stuff going on in 87, like the movies and the music that was the movies and the television and the video games that was going on. It was particularly a big year for video games too. Incidentally, very, very interesting year. You should check it out.
Skyrim.
Hmm?
Skyrim, still playing that.
And so we play a few bands on there, and that's where we're checking out. And this week, though, on the upcoming Social Blend 186, we've stolen your guest from your previous show from last week, Lee Garnett. And he is joining us with the wonderful Bacon Queen, Amy Vernon, who serves as editor for his war comics as well. And so we're going to talk about the ins and outs of War Part 3 and all the work and effort that went into it, and as well as looking at what Lee is focusing on possibly doing in the future with the end comic series. We're also going to look at a lot of other issues, but notably this week, you know, there's more news about the Stop Online Piracy Act. This week in particular, it's on Wednesday, the 18th of January, there is going to be a day of protest among many websites, including MixingBowl.com, where they're going to black out for a day. And Reddit is kind of championing this cause. But we're also going to ask the question, why is Senator Al Franken a sponsor of the SOPA bill?
That is a very good question. I don't know.
So we're going to look into that and, you know, see where we're going to go from there. We'll also talk about some other things that we've been following as well over the last few episodes of Social Blend. And, of course, we've got regular features on the show, one of which is our What the Fuck story of the week. And also being 2012, Andy, we're counting down to the end of days. Obviously, the media is kind of hyping up ridiculous stories that seem to point to the end of the world. And so we've got a new segment focusing on that called The Countdown to the Guts Fuck of Humanity. And so basically what we do, because the world's not going to end on December 21st, 2012, because if it did, then, you know, there's no point to the other apocalyptic prophecies that are coming after that time. So we're basically looking at any news articles that the media are, like, hyping up as, you know, stories that aren't, maybe they're taking it a little too seriously, that people are probably pointing at and going, look, it's the end of the world, when it's really not. So that's the kind
portends
of
portends of doom.
Yes, you know, so we're going to look at that and have a good laugh at it. So, yes, that's what's coming up this week on Social Blend. And what about the drill down, mate?
Well, the drill down, we had our Lee Garnett episode just launched last week as well. So that's up and available for anyone to listen to. And this week, from the looks of it, it looks like we're going to be heavy on SOPA this week, the Stop Online Piracy Act, because it was... it was pretty heavy in the news, and since we are a tech podcast, it's I think the main thing that we're going to be talking about, especially.
I just got to say, for us, both the drill down and Social Blend, the timing of this is actually kind of fruitful for us as podcasts, because both of us have been focusing on SOPA, and the blackout is happening on the same day when some of the people in the tech industry are going to be talking in DC. And so that's going to give, especially you guys focusing on tech, a really fortunate situation where you're going to be jumping on the news as it's fresh on that day. So, you know, I highly encourage people out there to check out the drill down when it comes out after Wednesday night, which is when you record, right?
Right. We record on Wednesday and we release on Friday. So there is that. So, yeah, check us out for all this great discussion. We added a new member to our panel, regular member to our panel, Christopher Bernor, who was, along with Devinder Hardwar and Dwayne DeFreitas, our other two regular members. The three of them have had their own tech podcast, the Symbiotic podcast. And now we've got them all on the drill down. So it's a little bit bigger panel, but that only allows us to get deeper into the discussion, which is what everybody likes to hear.
Oh, that's what the drill down is all about,
that's
isn't it?
Right. So, Greg, when can we hear Social Blend this week?
Well, Social Blend records just like the drawdown on Wednesday nights, and we release on Thursdays. So you can check it out on Thursday at social-blend.com. And also you can subscribe via iTunes. We have a link at the site, or you can do a search in iTunes for it. I also want to mention that we have a Facebook page where people can check out the links for the podcast. And also we have a subreddit where we post the podcast every week, which is also a place where people can come in and, if they really wanted to, suggest stories that you think we should be looking at on Social Blend. So, you know, you can do a search for that, and we'll have all the links for that stuff at the website, social-blend.com. And what about the drill down, mate? Where can we catch the episodes for the drill down?
Thedrilldown.com, that's our website, and subscribe to us at on iTunes at The Drill Down. Just do, you know, a Google search for, iTunes search for the drill down, and you'll find us there and add us to your regular RSS feeds. And that's it. It launches live every Friday, which hopefully will be hopefully we'll get this episode out before our respective podcast episodes out, so you can be forewarned about what's coming up.
Yeah, I think we'll be out before then this week. So, you know, it was last week was just one of those weeks. And I don't know what it was like for you, but, you know, I had my hands full with all kinds of ridiculous stuff last week. And I know the crew behind the scenes of geeksofdoom.com were also very heavily busy as well. So, you know, but now that we've finally kicked the pig for the first time with the reboot of the Roundup, you know, we'll be back into a regular routine, and you know, there we go.
All right,
and I think that's it.
I think you're right. Nothing left to say except
dilly gaff. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like, absolutely. That's a no-brainer for sure.
Absolutely.
Oh. Hang on. My alarm is going off. All right.